Okay, let me introduce our next speaker. He is not Dr. Glenn Mays. This is Dr. John Wayne, who will be talking about determinants of geographic variation in public health preparedness, system structure, and risk exposure. Dr. Wayne serves as professor at the Department of Health Policy and Management in the Faye Boozman College of Public Health at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, and has done academic work in a number of other places.
Yes.
Dr. Wayne.
Thank you. Let me begin by saying Glenn regrets that he cannot be here, but hopefully he's on an airplane back to Kentucky as we speak, and he wanted me to express his regrets. Let's just go to here. Obviously, when we submitted this abstract, Glenn, myself, Jim Bellamy, and a co-investigator, Cami Marty, were all at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. Most of you may know that Glenn has accepted an endowed professorship at the University of Kentucky's College of Public Health. A lot of friendly faces in the room. And so he has moved on to Kentucky. Our North Carolina investigators are Mary Davis, because this project, part of this project, deals with accreditation. Mary's expertise has been indispensable. Britton Wood, who now runs the accreditation program in North Carolina, and Dr. Ed Baker, who is the director of the North Carolina Preparedness and Emergency Response Research Center, which is a CDC-funded program which is responsible for this research. And this research was also facilitated by the North Carolina Practice-Based Public Research Network, which is funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Oops, wrong way. Okay, the objectives of the program are to assess the magnitude and significance of variation in emergency preparedness capacities found among local public health systems, both nationally and in North Carolina. And one of the things that I think most of you know, but North Carolina had one of the early state-based accreditation programs, and so it gave us the opportunity to do a natural experiment as counties became accredited or were preparing for accreditation or were several years out from accreditation. We could compare their emergency preparedness capacities using the 2005 and 10 NACHO data. And then because we knew the, 2005 and 8 NACHO data, and because we knew the 2010 NACHO data were preparedness were changing drastically, we actually had the opportunity to continue that comparison in 2010 through our preparedness capacity survey. And this capacity survey has allowed us to identify opportunities and strategies for improvement, in particular appropriate versus unwarranted variation, which is some of what I'm going to talk about today. We clearly have provided every respondent their data, how they compare to peers, how they compare to the national comparison group. So they have benchmarks on which to measure improvement, and then obviously to look at the impact of accreditation and standard development on preparedness. So as part of our strategy, we wanted to develop relevant, reliable, and actionable approach to measuring public health capacities. You'll see how we did that on the next slide. We wanted to analyze geographic variation in the scope and scale of capacities, and we wanted to see how the preparedness capacities impacted national, regional, statewide preparedness, allow local health departments and jurisdictions to compare themselves to local groups, and again to look at the impact of accreditation. So we developed the preparedness capacity survey using a Delphi technique, multi-rounds. The expert panel included both practitioners. Oh, I apologize. I needed to go back and just make sure. Let me go back. I don't want to leave them out. Glenn always does this, and it's second nature to him. It should be second nature to me. Our practice partners were indispensable. In particular, David Stone, Doug Erland, Julie Cassani, and Joy Reed, And we would also like to thank all of the local public health departments who responded to our survey, approximately 270 of them. So, go back. So, we developed the survey. We pilot tested it with local health departments using multiple respondents within each health department. Always the health director, the emergency preparedness coordinator if they had one, and then somebody else, often the chief epidemiologist or the person who was doing syndromic surveillance. We actually fielded the survey in 2010 with all 85 local health departments or districts in North Carolina, and we used propensity score matching based on health department characteristics, population characteristics, and financial characteristics, so that we had a national comparison group of 245. The overall response rate for the 2010 survey is 85%. From this response group, we also identified local peer groups using cluster analysis. Each person who responded got a customized report, and we've been told by a number of the people who responded that the customized report was one of the nicest things that we could have done. We are actually in the field right now for the 2011 survey. If you come to my poster session at 12:30 today, you'll see some early results from that study. But we will obviously again provide those respondents with a new customized report showing how they've changed and how the comparison group has changed. But what I'm really doing here today, or what we're reporting on today, is some of the drivers of geographic variation and the methodology used, hierarchical regression models with propensity weighted data. This slide just goes back to our pilot data. It's here mostly, if you look at the column third from the right, ICC, to show that as part of our instrument, we actually identified 8 domains, preparedness domains, and the questions within these domains had both validity and internal consistency. The only one that didn't is in the sort of the center of the slide. It's in red, partnerships, and obviously you can see the very low ICC and R-squared scores and the very low internal reliability coefficient. So I'm going to be reporting on 7 of those, 8 of those 9 domains, if I can count. Okay, this was the just showing some of our results. This involves the combined group of both North Carolina and the comparison group, and you can see that this group of local health departments scored best in the areas of incident command and legal infrastructure, and scored the lowest on surveillance and investigation capacity within the local health department. And part of why that is so low is because in a state like North Carolina, some of that surveillance is at the state level, and in other, states that have state-based systems, that capacity would be at the state level also. These are just, Glenn likes to show these. He spends more time on it than I do, but we clearly want to point out that we understand that some of the domains have a normal distribution, some are skewed, and then some are very scattered. For instance, on the bottom left, you can see that for events and event response, exercise and event response, it's all over the map. In QI and evaluation, even though it's a skewed, looks skewed normal, when you look at the bar graphs, it's actually a non-normal distribution, but we can't account for that in our method, in our analytical techniques. Okay, this is the first of the two sort of key results slides that we have here. The x-axis is the population size, and the y-axis is the preparedness score, and then you see a line for each of the domains. These were generated using spline regression models that controlled for other institutional and community characteristics. And as others have reported, typically we see higher levels of preparedness as population size goes up. And you sort of see that there. But if you look at our preparedness domains, you can see that it's not a linear relationship. And all you have to do is look at the bottom line and the top line as sort of prime examples of that. For surveillance and investigation, clearly as you go from very small departments to our departments located in small communities to those of 100,000, you see a decrease. And then as you go up to about 200 populations of about 250,000, you see an increase in preparedness. Then as you go to about 500,000, you're seeing a decrease in preparedness, and then increases again. So clearly a nonlinear relationship. If we look at the top, which is incident command, up to about 100,000, we see up and down variation, then increases to about 350,000 population, and then a steady decrease. And while there are potential explanations for this, the larger you get, perhaps the harder it is to have incident command. At the very beginning, we don't see that general relationship. So, but obviously, this is a type of variation where we can have some interventions and perhaps make positive improvements to overall preparedness. Next, we have the same y-axis, but this is the number of declared public health emergencies in the past year. And a number of studies have shown that one of the best measures or indicators of preparedness is having responded to a previous emergency. But do you get inundated when you have 10, 12, 14 public health emergencies? Well, first of all, it's not a linear relationship. If we'd imposed an overall capacity measure, you would see a slight increase. But again, if we look here at the dotted line, which is quality improvement, as you go from one to about two declared emergencies, well, you see an overall decline in quality improvement. And then as you go up to about 10, it continues that decline, but then you actually see modest increases. And some of our practice partners have said, well, it may be that we're just so inundated with emergencies, we drop some of our quality improvement. But others have said, actually, after about the first four emergency events, we've learned all we're going to learn from our quality improvement measures. We just keep finding the same results, so we take our scarce resources and use them in other parts of emergency response. So there are numerous reasons why we might see these patterns, but to even know that they exist is an important improvement in our understanding of preparedness response. Last slide before results. This is actually something that no one has seen before. This is actually a difference in difference regression model looking at accredited and non-accredited agencies and comparing the North Carolina agency with its matches. And what is interesting here is both in the overall and in five of the eight measures, the SARS, we see modest but significant increases in preparedness by accredited agencies. And I'm proud to be the person who's telling you that today. But as one might expect, it's not a grand slam because workforce and volunteers, incident command, and experience and exercises were not significant, and actually you saw modest decreases in two of those. So, but we can say that in surveillance and investigation, planning and protocol, communications, legal infrastructure, and quality improvement, we did see significant differences. And if you want to know what the paper is being drafted as we speak, but if you want to know what the components of each of these composite scores are, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I have it on a flash drive, or we can talk later or send it to you. But our implications are there's wide variation in preparedness capacities across communities, at the DAW, but some but not all of this variation is related to size and risk of exposure. Our comparative analysis and reporting can inform and mobilize some of the improvement efforts, and accreditation and standard setting, at least in our study, has been shown to address some of the unwarranted variation in preparedness. And thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Wood?
Yes, I'm fascinated by the drills and exercises because it actually, you know, improves and then it goes down. And that's significant from a cost perspective because most of the money in emergency preparedness and special training were focused especially in hospitals on drills and exercises. This would tell us that to a certain point we should adopt this.
That's perhaps.
We've been spending a lot of federal dollars.
I can tell you that having looked at the 2010 or 2011 PCAS results, that is one of, we all know that, that a lot of public health jurisdictions have decreased preparedness efforts between the 2008 and 2010 NATO surveys. And that is one of the two domains that actually increased between 2010 and 11 on our PCAS preparedness capacity survey. So yes, that's something we clearly want to look at.
Patrick? Can you go back one slide?
Yes.
Where we see the there, where we see the decrease in mid-level populations. Have you thought of any possible reasons for that as a team?
Okay. The answer is yes, but our part of the contract ended September 30, and in the last 3 months of that, I've been trying to get responses to the survey.
Okay.
So those have not been on the tip of my mind, and I would not venture to answer that question. But if Glenn were here, he would give us an answer.
I agree. Some of the stuff is really interesting. It's a statement of the data. Is there a next step that tries to explain?
Yes.
To follow up and figure why is this the way it is?
We've shown you two of our regressions. Going through my head some of the analyses that I know have been run. We're looking at, I think, seven, but it could be more than that, other explanatory variables. These were the two we had done at when the abstract was submitted, and frankly, I was asked to give this presentation at 9 p.m. last night, that would be a question I would ask also, but I can't tell you what they.
As he was noting, if that's interesting, the rise and then the drop and then the rise.
Yeah.
What's that all mean, and what do you do? Is that's going to be part of your study?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great.
Yes, ma'am.
Why do you think communication from below is slowing?
I would venture a hypothesis, and that is the as part of our survey development, the communications methodologies that everybody were already using were eliminated, so that we asked questions about communications technologies that weren't being utilized by every department. And I expect that line will improve because the respondents will say to themselves, hadn't thought about that. Maybe this is something we should consider. So I expect our 2011 to see improvements in communications.
That's the part where you talked about they hadn't thought about it. Something I don't know if you compare it, trying to predict this based on, like, did you bring the accreditation issue to this, for example? Into these graphs, did you bring accreditation in? Like, you have two sets of lines, one for the accredited and one for the non-accredited?
The answer is yes, we do.
Okay. Because one of the dips in the thing is I've seen it in other surveys where people talk about at certain sizes people don't know what they don't know.
Right. But let me also say that when you do that, in 2008, for instance, the numbers are not on this, but I think it was 47, there were 47 accredited North Carolina local health departments and or districts. And so the numbers get small when we do that. Right.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions?